Has anyone ever said Mizpah to you? You say, no, not really. What does it mean? Well, Mizpah, I heard, meant the Lord watch between you and me. And I thought, oh, that's neat. And then I heard it meant the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent, one from another. And I thought, that is neat. So I shared it with my friends and we'd say, Mizpah, Mizpah. But you know what? I really didn't know the context or the setting of that verse. It's awesome. We'll look at it today. I want you to know that it is so wonderful to be able to be your teacher, to be able to open the Word of God with you, but also to know that as you open the Word of God with me, you're seeing truth for yourself. And you know, once we see truth for ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world. Just like me with Mizpah, I was saying, oh, the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from another. Mizpah, Mizpah. And I didn't realize the context. So today we're going to look at the context of that verse. And context is the setting in which we find something. And context always rules over interpretation. So when you're reading the Bible and you don't understand what something means, look at it in its setting. Look at it in its immediate setting, in the verses that come just before it and behind it. Then look at it in its little greater setting. Look at it in the setting of the book, and then, or the segment of that book. Then look at it in the setting of the whole Word of God, because Scripture never contradicts Scripture. So all you have to do as you study the Word of God is remember that the chief ruler over all interpretation is what I call King Context. Now, how do you find all this out, and how do you get a study guide to go along with us? Well, what you do is you simply go to preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com, and download that. All right, now, let's sit down. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20, this awesome, awesome chapter. And as you open your Bible to 1 Samuel 20, I want you to know that we never begin this program without praying for you, because it is our deepest heart's desire that God would give you a gnawing, craving hunger for His Word that would cause you to go deep into the Word of God. Well, we left off at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. Now remember, David is convinced that Saul wants to kill him. And so he and Jonathan are talking, and you can almost sense the panic in David's heart. He is afraid to go home with Jonathan. He's afraid to go back and sit at the king's table. Now there is a yearly feast that has come up that they are going to celebrate. And so they have got a plan to protect David, a plan to let David know whether or not Saul is really still bent on killing him. And as they talk this way, they have made a covenant, another covenant. Now, they made a covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Jonathan made it with David, and it was between Jonathan and David. But now, a very significant covenant is coming into play that is going to have ramifications for years. I mean, for years and years and years, and you're going to see it, and it's going to be so exciting, and you're going to go, oh, Lord, your Word is so wonderful and so awesome. And you're going to say, why did I spend so much time in other books instead of spending the time that I should spend in your book? 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 13. If it please my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not make known to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I'm still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness? And you know what that is. If you heard the last program, you know the word is hesed. And if you missed that program, let me suggest that you get it. That you get it and that you listen to it, because it's so important and it takes you into the New Testament, explains salvation to you. And he says, if I'm still alive, will you not show me loving kindness? We believe it's a covenant term. It's the blessedness. It's the loving kindness. It's the grace of God that goes with the covenant. He says that I may not die. Now remember, you're putting a tombstone over every reference to dying or killing or death. He says, you shall not cut off your loving kindness, your hesed, from my house forever. All right. Now, I want you to go back to verse 8 and let's just look at it. He says, therefore deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. That's David speaking to Jonathan about the covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 18. But now what he's calling him to is he's calling him to a covenant not just between Jonathan and David, but between Jonathan's house and David's house. In other words, between their families. This is what he's saying. And so he says, you shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever. Now that's a time phrase. And so I put a little green clock around it because I want you to see how long this covenant exists. He says, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of this earth. In other words, David, when all your enemies are gone, you, because of this covenant, are not to cut off your loving kindness from my house. Now it seems like Jonathan just has a sense of foreboding, a sense of what may happen to him, and he wants to protect his children. He wants to protect his seed. He wants to protect his descendants. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. Of course, you want to mark covenant. You color it red, box it in yellow if you're doing like we said in the study guide. And he made it with the house of David, not just with David. He already has a covenant, but now it's with the house of David, saying, may the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemy. May the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemy. And Jonathan made David vow again because of his love. You got a heart there for him because he loved him. Put another heart there as he loved his own life. Then Jonathan said to him, tomorrow is the new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. You've seen the story of King Arthur. You know, they don't even know if he really, really existed. Hate to blow your bubble, but anyway, and he had the knights of the round table. Well, King Saul had a king's table where all of his important men sat with him. And because it was the feast of the new moon, David would have a seat there. Every man had his own seat. And he says, when you have stayed for 3 days, you shall go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself on that eventful day, and you shall remain by the stone of Azel. So they had a stone out there in that field, and they would call that, hey, that's the stone of Azel. And so he knew exactly what was doing. He said, I will shoot 3 arrows to the side. So I'm going to pull my bow and I'm going to shoot 3 arrows. You know that he's very skilled with the bow if he says exactly where he's going to shoot them, to the side, and as though I shot at the target. And behold, I will send the lad saying, go find the arrows. If I say, listen carefully now, specifically to the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of you, get them, then come. Then David, that's my signal for you to come, for there is safety for you and no harm as the Lord lives. But if I say to the youth, behold, the arrows are beyond you, for go, for the Lord has sent you away. So if I say, come, you're going to come. If I say that the arrows are beyond you to the lad, then you're going to go away. He says, behold, the arrows are beyond you. Go, for the Lord has sent you away. You know, I love this relationship that these two men have, because you know that the Lord is the center of that. Do you have a relationship like that with another person? Oh, beloved, one of the blessings for me of being part of Precept Ministries International is our staff. We have a godly staff. We have a day of prayer and fasting every month. We begin every day with prayer. Now, I'm not there because my life is too busy, and so I'm still at home doing, or on the road doing, what I have to do. But we travel on our Israel tours and our Greece tours and our Rome tour when I teach the book of Romans, and we have such fellowship. It's fellowship in the Lord, and we get together and we share the things of God, and we laugh and we cry together, and we pray together. But it's always, you know, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord, because we understand, all of us, that God is sovereign. And so he says, it's the Lord that sent you away. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between me and you forever. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying, Mizpah, the Lord's between you and me forever. Now, remember, they just made a covenant. And what he's saying is this. Listen, God is going to require that you keep this covenant, and he's watching over. I may not be here. You may not be here, but I'm telling you, God is everywhere. And so God is watching between you and me. He's being between you and me forever. And David, if I die and you don't keep this covenant, God's going to get you. This is what it's saying. This is what Mizpah means. It is a covenant term. And what it's saying is, we have made a solemn binding agreement, and we have to keep that agreement. Now, what's so good about all that? What's so good about all that is that when God made a covenant with you, he's going to keep it. He's never going to break it. If he gives you the gift of eternal life, then, beloved, he's never going to take it back. You say, how do I know if I have it? You know it by the way that you live. You know it by the way that you live. God knows it because he knows your heart, and he made a covenant with you. And so we can say, the Lord watch between you and me forever. God, I know that you're a covenant keeping God. Now, there's more to the story, and I don't want you to miss it. But before we go to the rest of the story, what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this very important announcement, and I'll be right back. Welcome back. While you were gone, David went to the field, and he hid in the field, and Jonathan went home, and Jonathan sat down at the table, and Saul sat there. And this is what it says in verse 25 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. And the king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. And then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul didn't speak anything that day, for he thought, it's an accident. He's not clean. Surely he's not clean, because there was a purification process that they went through. And because of this purification process, he thought, well, he just didn't get clean. And nevertheless, it says he didn't speak anything, but it came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the table either yesterday or today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. For he said, please let me go, since our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. Now, if I found favor in your sight, please let me get away that I may see my brothers. This is the reason he didn't come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, did I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and the shame of your mother's nakedness? Now, what is he talking about, the shame of his mother's nakedness? He's saying, I knew your mother. I had sexual relations with your mother, and I produced you. And in taking sides against me and against your mother, what you are doing is you are bringing shame on the family. Now watch what happens. Now watch. Remember, Saul is hot. His anger is burning. And this is what he says. As long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore, now send and bring him to me, for he must surely die. And you've marked die again. Saul is bent in his jealousy on demising, on bringing about the demise of David. Remember that wrath is fierce and anger is a flood. But who can stand against jealousy? Remember that verse that we saw. This man is so jealous. And he is jealous because David is going to take his kingdom. And you know what? He knows it. He knows it. And yet, what is Saul doing? Saul is fighting against God. Now listen, Saul is fighting against God. And when we get to the end of this book, you're going to see that it's to Saul's demise that he is fighting against God. You say, what do you mean? Did Saul really understand that he wasn't going to be king forever? Oh, yes. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28. And we want to look at it again because it's a very important verse. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, remember, Saul is to put to death Agag, and he does not do that. And Samuel comes and tells Saul and brings Saul this message. And Samuel says to him in verse 28, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Here, Saul knows the will of God. Saul never stops and confesses and repents and turns around from all of his disobedience and his rebellion and his partial obedience against God. He never does it. And now he knows just deep in his gut that David is the one that is going to get the throne. And what he's trying to say to Jonathan is, listen, Jonathan, listen, that throne belongs to you. And if we don't get rid of David, if he doesn't die, then you're going to lose your throne. But Jonathan already knows that, doesn't he? Jonathan has already made a covenant. Jonathan has already said, so to speak, Mizpah, the Lord watch between you and me forever. He already knows that one day God is going to cut off David's enemies and that David is going to rule. He already knows that. So it's a matter that is settled in Jonathan's heart. Jonathan has bowed to the will of the Lord. Jonathan is not a young man overcome by jealousy. Remember, love is not jealous. And if you say that you love a person, then you're not going to be jealous of that person. But Saul has said that he loves David. Saul has called David his son, but Saul doesn't mean it, and Saul wants to kill him. And so what's going to happen? Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, because you're going to see where a man's jealousy takes him. You're going to see where a man's anger takes him. And it says, then in verse 33, Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. This is not David. This is his son Jonathan. And he just said in the line before that he's going to take your kingdom away from you. And now he's about to kill his own son. It's totally irrational. And that's what anger and jealousy does. It makes you totally irrational. You put yourself in the place of God, and you don't have that meekness, that gentleness that allows us to inherit the earth. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is accepting everything as coming from the hand of God without bitterness, without anger, without retaliation. You see it in Jonathan, but you don't see it in Saul. Then Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and he did not eat food the second day at the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father had dishonored him. Now it came about in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field for the appointment with David, and a little lad was with him. And he said to the lad, "Run now, find the arrows which I'm about to shoot." And as the lad was running, he shot an arrow past him. And when the lad reached the place of the arrows which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" He wanted David to hear. And Jonathan called after the lad, "Hurry, be quick, do not stay." And Jonathan's lad picked up the arrow and came to his master. But the lad was not aware of anything. Only Jonathan and David knew about the matter. And I know that both of them were terribly, terribly grieved. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the lad and said to him, "Go and bring them to the city." And when the lad was gone, David rose from the south side, fell on his face on the ground, and bowed three times before his friend. And they kissed each other, and they wept together. But David wept the more. He knew that there was going to come a great separation between them, not of heart, not of friendship, but a physical separation. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in safety, inasmuch as you have sworn, as we have sworn, to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, Mizpah, the Lord be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever." Then he rose and departed, while Jonathan went into the city. He arose, he departed, and Jonathan left, and David fled. Mizpah, the Lord watch between you and me. Remember this covenant, David. Remember this covenant, Jonathan. And you're going to find out that it is going to be the salvation of one of Jonathan's sons. You're going to see awesome, awesome things because David remembered a covenant. Just know this, if David, an earthly human being, remembers his covenant, then the Lord remembers his. And if you've entered into the new covenant with Jesus Christ and received him as your Lord and Savior, you will abide with him forever. Someday, you'll see him soon. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Read about David and Jonathan parting, I became a little overcome. And I became a little overcome because I have come to know David quite well. And I've come to know Jonathan quite well. Because not only have I taught you this, but I've written precept upon precept, inductive Bible study courses on this. I've spent hours in the Word, hours in 1 Samuel, and hours in 2 Samuel. I've come to know these men. I know what's going to happen in the future. I know the pain and the ache that is going to come into David's heart. I know what Jonathan is going to experience. And so as I read this, I had that whole picture because I'm studying God's Bible, precept upon precept. Well, we've come to that time, beloved, when we look at God's precepts for life. And what is God's precept for us today? I think that what you and I need to see is the peace that comes from security. The peace that comes from knowing that you are secure with God. Of knowing not that, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I'm going to heaven. I'll live any way that I want to live until I see him. And it's all right. I can have my fling and I can do my thing and I can still go to heaven. No, you don't understand salvation if that's what you think about it. Because salvation changes your heart. Salvation puts a love of God in your heart. In Romans chapter 5, it says his love is shed abroad in his heart, in our hearts, by the Spirit that he gives to us. And all of a sudden, we understand that God first loved us, even as Jonathan first loved David. God first loved us. And in loving us, God gave the ultimate gift. I mean, he laid down the life of his son on our behalf. Jonathan has laid down the future of having the kingdom on David's behalf because he loves him. And so there's a security in their relationship, and there's a security in your relationship with God. And when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, then love doesn't want to trample on God's love. Love wants to rise to the occasion. Love wants to be with God. Love wants to share with God. Love wants to spend eternity with God. And if you are in that new covenant, then this is your precept for life. You're secure, beloved. You are secure. You have the hesed, the loving kindness of God, and you're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. He has given you the gift of eternal life. He has put you in his hand, and no one can snatch you out.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.